If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 6. I really believe that God gave me a message for today. We've been on the theme of miracle and miracle territory and different things such as that. And I just couldn't get away from that because I really believe that God wants to do something in us today. And my message this morning I've entitled is How to Become a Miracle. How many of you would like to become a miracle? Amen? Let me see your hand. Just kind of wave at me today. I want to be a miracle. I believe I am a miracle. Amen? And I believe that God wants to do some greater things in our lives today. So Judges chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 11. And let me begin to read. And there came an angel unto the Lord and sat under the oak which was Ophrah. And that's not Oprah, okay? That's Ophrah. that pertained to Joash and his son Gideon threshing wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all of his miracles? And if you'll turn over to Philippians chapter 4, and I just want you to repeat this one with me because you know what? It's one that we all know. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say that again. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, today at your presence in this place. Father, we are so thankful, O God, for everything that we've done up to this point. But now, Lord, as we focus upon your word, I believe that you have something that you want to speak into our lives today. I believe, Father, there are men and women here today that are setting on ready, Lord, to become a miracle, O God. Something that you want to do in their lives, O God, to make them become a miracle, Lord. Not just in their lives, but in the lives of others around them. And I pray, Father, for the next few moments that your anointing would rest upon me. And Father, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon this place. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to do what I cannot do in myself. But Father, Lord, that you would speak through me today, Lord, the words that you would have us hear today, Lord. And let it find good soul in our hearts. And Father, let it produce good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this story of Gideon, what you see is a man who is very much like you and I today. As a man, Gideon knew that there was a God. He knew there was a God. But sometimes he was overwhelmed by his surroundings, and because of his surroundings, it left him faithless. Have you ever been like that before? Have you ever said, I know there's a God, God's great, God is good, and then all of a sudden everything begins to cave down on you, and then you begin to wonder, God, where are you? God, are you really there? You ever been there? I have, many times. He's very much like that. That's quite normal. That's quite natural, Gideon was. He's quite a normal person. And here we see Gideon hiding. He's surrounded by the Midianites. And the Midianites were horrible people. They were godless people. And because of Israel's sin and because of their unbelief, God had allowed the Midianites to descend upon Israel like a swarm of locusts. And they were taking everything that Israel had. In fact, Israel could not even plant a crop without the Midianites coming down and taking it away from them. The Midianites took all their sheep, all their goats, all of their oxen, and they left Israel with absolutely nothing. During this time, Israel, a lot of the people were living actually in caves. They were living in dens because the Midianites had overwhelmed them and God was allowing it. How many realize that? Can I tell you something this morning? Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives. When we get away from Him many times God, how many know God knows how to turn up the heat in our life when we're not doing what we're supposed to do? Amen? Israel was not doing what they were supposed to do. They weren't living and following Jehovah and what was happening. God says, listen, you're going to forsake me, then I'm going to let the enemy come in and take everything you've got. And that's what was happening. And here we have Gideon in despair and in faithlessness, and he's threshing out a handful of wheat, hiding behind the wine press, just trying to keep a little bit from the Midianites from taking it away from them. And he's afraid. And though at that moment, when Gideon is alone and when he's honest about the things of his own life, the Lord appears to him. And I love what the Lord said to him. He said, "Hey, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Now get that in the picture, okay? You got Gideon hiding behind the wine press, and he's threshing out a little bit of wheat just so the enemy won't save. And God says to him, "Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you." You see the contrast? If you'll notice, the angel, as he began to speak to that, Gideon began to respond out of a real heartfelt thing. He said to him, he said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all of this thing happened to us? Why has all this befallen us?" And then he says, "And where are all his miracles which our forefathers told us about?" How many realize that's a very natural sense? Here's a guy who's hiding from the enemy, and God says, "You're a mighty man of valor." But can I tell you something? The Lord looked upon him, and he never even stopped to explain to Gideon. How many know that God doesn't very seldom explain himself? You know why? Because he's God. He doesn't have to explain himself. The angel of the Lord didn't even stop to explain. But in verse 14, this is what it says, "And the Lord looked upon him, and he said to Gideon, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.'" And then he says, "Have not I sent thee?" He's saying, "Listen, Gideon." He says, I want you to go, and I want you to strike down the Midianites. I've called you. I want you to go, and I'm going to be with you, and I've sent you." Have you ever noticed that when God gets ready to do something incredible, it seems like he finds the weakest, he looks for the most incapable person, and what does he do? He takes the weakest and the most unlikely to do something that is impossible. When God called Gideon, a mighty man of valor, and said to go out and save Israel from the hands of the Midianites, God is seeing Gideon as what he created him to be, a mighty man of valor. He didn't create him to be hiding behind a wine press just trying to eke out a living. And he says, "No, I've called you to greater things." He said, "I've called you to rise up and to be a warrior for God, to go out and deliver the people of Israel out of the hands of the Midianites." Now here's a guy hiding behind a wine press trying to eke out a few grains for he can feed for him and his family. And God says, "I've got so much more for you." Can I tell you something this morning? God's got more for you too. Now I'm not talking some prosperity thing here, but what I'm saying is wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing now, can I tell you something? There's one word that God would like me to speak to you today, and that is he has more for you. I don't know if you got that, but that's pretty good. Okay? He's got more for you. He really does. But Gideon doesn't see himself the same way that the Lord sees him. You know what Gideon sees? He sees himself as a coward hiding behind the winepress just trying to survive another day. And in verse 16, he says to the Lord, "How shall I save Israel?" He says, "My family is the poorest in Manassas and the least in my father's house." He began to make excuses why he could not do the things that God called him to do. You see, he looked at his ability in the natural and he said, "Listen, God, you've got the wrong guy." Have you ever felt like that? That God's told you to do something and you said, "God, you've got the wrong person. You've got the wrong person." Gideon didn't realize it, but God was getting ready to do something incredible in the life of Gideon. And when God chooses to perform a miracle in somebody's life, he doesn't look for the talented. He doesn't look for those who have ability. It's not the education that he looks for. But can I tell you, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those things which are mighty." You say, "I don't have the strength, I don't have the power, I don't have the know-how." You know what God says? "You qualify to be used by me." God doesn't want to just do a miracle in Gideon's life. God wants Gideon to become a miracle. How many realize that? He wants him to become a miracle. This morning I want to give you four statements to kind of explain how you and I can become a miracle. Don't you want to be a miracle this morning? Amen. Point number one, you may want to write these down. You never pray for a task to equal your power. Let me say that again. You never pray for the task to equal your power, but you pray for the power to equal your task. How many realize that? The task will always be a little greater than your power. Now, if you'll notice over here, I've got this sign that says task. Okay? And over here, I've got a sign that says power. And then you got this place in between them. I mean, realize that. Okay? That's where most of us are at most of the time. Most of us put a task over here, we put our power and strength over here, and we find a task, and it exceeds our power. And so do you know what we do? We go over here to the task, and we cut the task down to meet our power. That's too much for us to do. So we cut the task off. And that's how we do it. But the problem is, when we cut the task off, you know what happens? God cuts off the power. Because the task is always going to be more than the power. I'm getting confused here. How many follow me today? So when you trim back the task and you say, I can't do that, so I'm going to make the task a little easier, you know what God says? God says, I'm pulling the power away from you. I'm pulling the power away from you. For you to become a miracle, our power must never equal the task. Because if we can do it in our own strength, if we can do it in our own power, how many realize then we don't need God? We don't need God. That is actually one of the tests that we use to know if we've been called to do something. God always calls you to something bigger than your ability to do it. How many realize that? That's why God calls us to do what we can't do in our own strength. God always calls us to do something that is beyond our ability to do it. If I can do it, I don't have to put faith in God, do I? If I can do it in my own power, in my own strength, you know what? Then God just steps out of the way and lets me do it. Can I tell you something? That's why churches doesn't grow. Can I tell you something? That's why people don't grow. Because they don't put God in the mix. I can do it. And God says, go ahead and do it. But when you do it, I'm going to take away the power, and it's not going to be that easy. God's call always is bigger than your ability to form. You may say, why is that? Because everything that we do for God requires for us to put our faith and our trust in Him. Can you say amen? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without what? Faith? It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then we're told in Hebrews 10 verse 38 that the just shall live by faith. We all know that part, but the last part of that verse says, but if any man draws back, if any man comes and cuts off part of his task, if we draw back, listen to what the scripture says. If we draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now that space between the task and the power, you know what it is? It's called miracle territory. How many realize that? Miracle territory. I've got a task that's too big for the power that I have. I've got to have divine intervention, don't I? To what? To take care of the task. I don't have enough strength to do it. You see, God always calls you and I to big things. Amen. He wants to call you and I to things that are greater than what we can do in ourselves. And so what do? We have to lean upon God. We have to lean upon Jesus. We have to say, God, I don't have the strength, but I know that you have the strength. Amen? You've got it. But that's why most people don't become a miracle, because they don't put God in this space right here. They look at the task, they look at what their strength is, and they say, I don't have enough, so we cut it off. And God says, I have no pleasure in you. The truth is, when we give God this space, you know, I'll tell you what He does. When we give God this space, He puts His hand upon our life, and then He empowers us to do what we could not do in ourselves. That's pretty good preaching, church. He always makes us step beyond what we're comfortable with. God always calls us beyond what we can think we can do or what we're capable of doing. So as we look at all the things that God has called us to do, and we look at the power that we have, what does it do? We can't bring it to pass in the natural, but can I tell you something? When we add through Christ, guess what? We can do anything. Amen. My test doesn't have to equal my power, because when my task is through Christ, I can what? Do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13, I can do some things through Christ. No. I can do most things through Christ. You know, I looked up the word all in the Greek. You may tell you what it means? All. Exactly. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. What are we doing? Are we giving God an opportunity? What we are supposed to do is step into this area here called miracle territory and let God give us an opportunity to do the incredible in us, to do what we could not do in ourselves. But if we cut it off, we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to become a miracle in the hands of God. I don't pray for the task to equal my power. I pray for the power to equal my task. Can I tell you something? God is beckoning you and I this morning to get out from behind the wine press. He's saying, quit being intimidated. Quit being afraid. Quit being scared of the task. He says, I've got power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So we don't have to be afraid. But we cut ourselves off and we rob ourselves. The point I'm trying to make this morning is this, that we will not be a miracle until our task exceeds our ability, because that's the place that God performs miracles. Can you say amen? If we had enough strength to do it on our own, we wouldn't need God to get involved. But when our task is bigger than we are, that's when we step into this part right here, miracle territory. Miracle territory. Can I tell you, people are scared of that part right there. Because they say, I can't do it. We want to do it ourselves. But can I tell you something this morning? God never intended for you to do it by yourself. Amen? We are dependent upon Him this morning. Oh, we need to step into that miracle territory. God is a miracle-working God. And He wants to equip you and me that we might be a miracle in somebody else's life. He wants you and I to become a miracle. That's how you grow a great church. That's the way you grow in grace. That's the way you grow as a Christian. If you want to become a miracle, you just take on a task that is bigger than you can do it, and you become a miracle. Hallelujah. So number one, never pray for the task to equal your power. Pray for the power to equal your task. Number two, if I cut my task down to equal my strength, are you ready for this? Once I do that, my power will diminish. My power will diminish. Does anybody remember the parable found in Matthew chapter 5 about the talents? To one servant, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to another, he gave 1 talent. The one servant that had the 5 talents turned those 5 talents into what? 10 talents. The one servant that had 2 talents, he got what? 2 more, turned that into 4 talents. But the one servant that had the 1 talent, you know what he did? He was afraid. And he went and buried it. He was afraid of the task that was before him. The task was bigger than his ability. So he cut off the task to equal his ability. And let me read you what the master said when he came to make the account and settle the account. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26, 28, and 29. And the Lord answered and said unto this servant with the one talent, thou wicked and slothful servant, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that has the 10 talents. Now listen to this. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. In other words, if you have it, you're going to get more. But listen to what else he says. But from him that hath not shall take away even that which he has. Boy, that's pretty powerful. What is God saying to us? God's saying if we don't step into this area here and let God do what he wants to do, and we are afraid and we won't step out and let God do what he wants to do in our lives, you know what he says? He says he will take away those things. You will have a diminishing return, amen, rather than growing and prospering and going forward in the kingdom of God. What will happen is there will be a diminishment in your life. You know what? We're in America, we think, you know, that the people who have, they want to give to those who have nots. The have giving to the have nots. But that's not in God's economy. Have you realized that? In God's economies, those who have get more, and those that don't do anything with what they got don't get to keep what they got. Is that incredible? If I cut back on my task to equal my strength, the strength I once had will begin to be diminished and it'll be taken away from me. Think about that for a moment. You're hanging on to what you've got, and you don't want to lose it. You're afraid of losing. But God's Word said, listen, if you hold on to it and don't step into this area right here and let me get a hold of you and get a hold of what you've got, you're going to lose what you've got. But if you'll step in this territory and you'll call upon me and you'll let me do what I want to do in your life, he says, I will not just prosper, I don't just touch you, but he says, I'll give to you. That's some good stuff there, isn't it? Number three, you always start the task before you have the power. Now that's where we get hung up many times. You don't get strength from the work, you get strength by the work. You follow me? The first time you step out to do something good for God or to do something that you've never done for God, how many realize it's hard and it's scary? People say to me, Pastor Rick, aren't you afraid when you get up to preach? The first time I got up to preach, I preached 5 minutes. I cried for 3.5 minutes. I said everything I had to say like 3 times in 2 minutes. It was hard. It was difficult. How many realize that? It's always difficult. It's always difficult. But as you work at it, as you persevere in the things that God has called you to do, amen? You continue to work at that task that God has given you. You know what you'll find? You'll find that God will give you power and strength to accomplish the task as you are working on accomplishing the task. Listen to me this morning. We get strength when we give strength. Amen? God doesn't give you the strength for the burden. He gives you the strength by the burden. Amen? And it's in that burden. It's in that burden that you carry that God gives you the strength. When we step out in faith and God gives you a task that is bigger than your ability, and by faith we step out to do the impossible, God supplies the strength and the power to do the incredible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The power to do the impossible doesn't come before the task. It comes as you step out in faith and begin to do the task. You see, we must always start the task before the power will come. You know, I've done this before, and you probably have done it too. God, if that is really you. Miss Jackie said this yesterday. Let the preacher scratch his left ear with his right hand and hop on 1 foot. And he does it. And you know what you say? God, if this is really you. How many realize that? I've done it. I said, God, if this is you, you got to do this. You know. But you know what God says? No. God says, listen, you step out. And when you step out, that's when the power will begin to take place. Amen? Do you remember when Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water? They were in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples were afraid. And they look up and they see some figure coming before them. And they think they've seen a ghost. And you know what they do? They begin to shiver. And they begin, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! And one of them looked again and they said, no, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And Peter, being the great guy he is, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you and walk on the water. Remember that? I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, come. Jesus said, come. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, church. The disciples were afraid. But when Jesus said, come, the power to walk on water did not come to Peter until he stepped out of the boat. Amen? Until he got out of the boat, Peter became a miracle as he stepped out to do something that he had never done before, which nobody had done before. Amen? And what happened to Peter? He became a miracle at that point. Amen? He stepped out and said, God, I'm coming. Can I tell you something? The hardest part of becoming a miracle is the first step. Let me realize that. The hardest part of becoming a miracle is that first step. I don't know if you know who Arthur Blessed is. Anybody know who Arthur Blessed is? He carried a cross across America. And then he went over to Europe and walked across Europe with carrying a cross, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day he was being interviewed and they said, Arthur, what was the hardest part of your journey carrying that cross? He laughed. He said, oh, that's easy. I know exactly what it was. He said, the very first step. How many realize it's hard to exercise that first step? But let me tell you, when Peter got out of the water, got out of the boat and stepped on the water, and it was firm ground, amen, it was hard, amen. You know what he did? He had faith to take another step, amen. And what did he do? He did what no other man has ever done. He walked on the water. Peter became a miracle. Now, you can say all you want to about, oh, well, he got his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. But I want to say to you, how many of you have walked on water? Amen? The power didn't come until he got out of the boat. And that's always the hardest part. But as you do it, God gives you the strength. How many know that faith is like a muscle? Amen? The more you use it, the more that God will give you. The more faith you have, God gives you more as you use that faith. You might say, well, I can't afford that. But if you step out and do what God's called you to do, can I tell you something? God will supply the money, amen? Because money follows ministry. Can you say amen? If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Amen? People say, I can't. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. Number four, and I close with this. Never pray to do a miracle, but pray to be a miracle. Never pray to do a miracle, but pray to be a miracle. God wants to make you and I miracles. Make me a miracle in somebody's life today. Help me do what I can't do myself. I got a question for you this morning. Why don't you just try to do something big for God just one time? Can I tell you something? You'll become addicted to it. Amen? Why don't you just step out of the boat and just see what God will do? How are we going to become a miracle? We're going to become a miracle by stepping out and doing something for God that nobody thought we were capable of doing. There's an old song that we used to sing years ago. I don't know if I can sing it. I'm going to try. But it goes like this. It goes, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to fling the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Can I tell you something this morning? The greatest miracle in the world is when you and I step out and say, Lord, I need you. It was a miracle that took a little boy who was afraid, who was scared, that nobody thought would ever amount to a thing. But God called him and he became a miracle. And he stands before you this morning as your pastor today. It took a miracle. I could tell you of another miracle of how God took a little shy little Baptist girl that never even heard about the Holy Spirit, who wouldn't even stand and speak in front of people. And yet she stepped out and said, God, make me a miracle. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the strength. But God, if you can use me, I want you to know she said, I want to touch people's lives. And can I tell you something? Not only is she touching people's lives, but she became a miracle. And not only did she become a miracle, she became my wife. Pretty good miracle, amen? Yeah, it was a miracle that she married me. I close with this. I believe there are men and women here this morning. And I believe that you want to be more than what you are. I believe that you want to become a miracle, that you want to be used by God. You want to be used mightily by God. I believe there is a miracle in this house this morning for you. Why don't you become a miracle this morning? Why don't you take on a task that is so much bigger than you that God will have to get involved for you to pull it off this morning? Take a step. That's what signs and wonders and miracles are all about. How many realize that? About stepping out and letting God do in you what you cannot do in yourself. Because with God, there's nothing that is impossible. If you will say, God, I'm going to trust you. I want you to make me a miracle. God will help you do the impossible, and He'll help you see the incredible in your life this morning. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to do something great in your life today. I believe that God has a plan for your life this morning. You may be saying, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Rick, but not in my life. You don't know me. You don't know what's in my life. I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think. I know that He's able to take a nobody and make a somebody. He can take a goof-off person and make them a child of God to do great things for Him. Why? Because they put their faith and trust. I wonder this morning how many people would say, Pastor Rick, I want to be a miracle. I want to do something great for God. I want to step into that miracle territory. And I want to see God work in my behalf. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me? Yes, thank you. Are there others? Yes. Would you stand with me all over this building? Carol, just play something softly, if you will. Hallelujah. You know, you might be here this morning, and you might not even know Jesus as your personal Savior. You might have come this morning and you might say, Pastor Rick, I don't even know Christ. The greatest miracle that you could ever receive this morning is accepting Jesus into your heart and life. How many realize that? And I wonder how many this morning would be bold enough to say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know Jesus. I want to know Him. Would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Thank you. Are there others? Yes, thank you. That's the greatest miracle in the world. Is to accept Jesus Christ. Because what does He do? He takes a life that's torn apart, that's dead in trespasses and sin. And what does He do? He raises them up out of that old miry clay and sets their life on a rock. Christ Jesus. Amen. He gives them a new life and a new purpose. Forgives them of their sin. He gives them a new hope. Gives them a new home. And a new reason to live. Hallelujah. Can I ask you this morning, every one of you that are here this morning, you want to be a miracle? You want to do something great for God? Can I ask you just to slip out of that pew where you're standing and just come and stand with us right here? Just stand in this altar. Would you come? Come. Hallelujah. How many believe that God can do anything this morning?